she's an encourager of manhood. Amen. Because when I still wanted to be a boy, she made me be a man. Amen. I have to give honor where honor is due. So Deborah was one of the, and the only female judge that we know of in the book of Judges. And usually a person will become a judge after they were victorious in battle. Well, Deborah was never in a battle, but somehow she was a judge. Bible doesn't really tell us how she became a judge or a prophetess, but she was a judge and she was a prophetess in the Bible. Amen? So, in short, what Deborah was doing in Judges 4 and the verses 4 to 14, she was authorized to tell Barak to go fight. Amen? So what I want to do is I want to read Judges 4 through 14. 4 through 14. It says, now Deborah, a prophet of the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill of Ephraim, in the country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinon, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and his with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zandanim, near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinon, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Hagarman to the Kishon River all his men and his 900 chariots filled with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. So based on this section of Judges, what can we learn from Deborah? She is a great national and spiritual leader. But what we're going to learn today is how this woman encouraged manhood. In this story, God commanded Barak, the head of the Israelite army, to lead the army in battle. Barak's counterpart for the opposing army was named Sisera. Barak was supposed to attack Sisera and win the battle, secure a peace place for Israel for years to come. By the end of the story, what happened, though, was largely through the encouragement of Deborah. So here we have a man, a general, a commander, that is told to go fight by the Lord. And he turns around to the judge, Deborah, and he says, I'll go if you go with me. Now, I know that in the Bible, many times when the Lord tells somebody to go, they go. But in this instance, this general says, I'll go if you go with me. Now, she didn't turn around to him and judge him. She just said, yes, I'll go with you. She didn't have to go with him. Can you imagine the commander over in Syria right now being commanded to go fight, and he turns around to the president and says, I'll go if you go with me? He'd be fired in a minute. Amen? Even though she's over him, she didn't fire him. She just said, I'll go with you. Amen? There was something about Barak that would not let him step out and be the man God called him to be. Deborah could have fired him for his disobedience, because I know when the commander says go, you're supposed to go. When God says go, you're supposed to go. She could have replaced him with somebody she felt was better suited for the job. She could have did it herself. She could have taken over the job. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think that somebody's not doing a good job, I'll tell them, move out the way, I'll do it myself. Amen? Sometimes as husbands and men, y'all, you know, women give us a job to do, and you don't think we're doing it right. And y'all say, move out the way, I'll do it myself. Did you get that motion? Move out the way. Move out the way. I'll do it myself. Sometimes we want you to do it yourself. I'll let you know that. Because we didn't want to do it anyway. But then sometimes you do a better job than us. Amen? She could have turned to him and said, you know, Barak, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just step up and do what you've been called to do? Let me get somebody else to do that. But she didn't do any of those things. Now she could have tried to fix him. Amen? Sometimes we try to fix people, but how long does that take? Amen? And yet we know that only God can fix people. Come, we know that God can only fix people, but we try to do it anyway. We think long enough will eventually change some people. Sometimes people get married because they think that they can change their spouse. Well, guess what? None of us have the power to fix others. Only God can fix broken people. And when you love somebody that is broken and they need fixing, you better start praying to the Lord to fix it for you. Ask God to give you the strength to deal with their brokenness. Amen? Because when you're in a relationship, and I'm talking about each and every one of us in here right now, when you're in a relationship, you're in a dysfunctional relationship, because ain't none of us perfect. So we need to be on our knees asking God to help fix what's broken. Everybody has issues from their past. You're not going to fix it. You can have a degree in psychology. You can have all kind of degrees in dealing with people in the mind and social issues, but you're not going to fix it. I don't know of how many husbands are going to let their wives sit up there and fix their psychological problems. I don't know how many wives are going to fix their husbands, or their husbands are going to fix their wives' problems. We got issues from the past. So you were made to be with somebody that God selected for you, hopefully if you listen to him. But it came with a price. But God didn't give you more than you could bear. Because if you couldn't bear it, he wouldn't give it to you. Amen? I know that I have issues. But God gave me a wife who's able to deal with my issues. So when you look at her and you say, girl, I won't go through that, I guess not, because God didn't pick me for you. That's part of what goes on. Girl, I wouldn't go through that. You know, I wouldn't take that no more. Well, you're not supposed to. But on the same fashion, whatever you going through, she ain't going to take that. Because she is not supposed to. I mean, for those of you who don't know, she look all quiet and peaceful, but cross her. Cross her. But good thing my name is Philip and not Barack. I'm going to tell you three things that Deborah did to encourage Barack's manhood. And these are three things that women can do to encourage men around them and help them to do what they've been called to do. But guess what? I want you to know that when God has given you a gift like that, it's worth having them around. It's worth having us around. It's worth having us men around. Amen? Amen? Right. It's worth having us around. It's worth putting an investment into us. Amen? Because when you put an investment into us, you're going to get it back and even more. Amen? We put investments into you, but we need you to put an investment into us as well. Amen? If you read Deborah's actions, her life, and her attitudes, we're going to find out these three things that help encourage men. And we need to know this because it could be the husband that you're encouraging. It could be the father that you're encouraging. But wait a minute. It could be that son that you're encouraging. Because you might not be with the father for whatever reasons. You might not be with your husband for whatever reason, but you might have a son that needs encouragement. You might have a daughter who needs to know how to encourage. It don't fall out of the tree. It comes from us showing and being an example to our children. Amen? Because if you're not going to be an example to them and you're not going to show them, somebody else will. And that might be the script that you want them to follow. Listen to what Deborah did. Deborah fortified Barak. Deborah fortified Barak by coming alongside of him. In verse 9, she says, I will go with you. I will go with you. And then in the end of verse 10, it says, and Deborah also went with him. Now, she didn't have to go. But she says, I will go with you. She was the leader. She could have took somebody else and said, go with him. But she with him. Deborah fortified Barak with her presence. Ladies, mothers, your presence is a ministry to us. Your presence is a ministry to your sons and to your daughters. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing, but you're right there. And they can feel your presence all around them. Amen? You can't put that responsibility on somebody else because it's not the same. When we're raising our kids and if we're always giving them to somebody else, your presence is not going to be the presence that it should be. So Deborah did not give her presence, her responsibilities to anybody else. Barak didn't say, could you get somebody to go with me? He was already getting 10,000 men to go with him. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted her to go with him. Amen? She came alongside of him because she knew God was calling him to do something. And even though he was intimidated, insecure, and fearful, she did not step in front of him and do it for him. She didn't step in front of him and do it for him. Even though she was here and he was there, it's not what God wanted her to do. It's what God wanted him to do. So she came along beside him, not in front of him. She didn't fire him. Her ministry of presence fortified him and gave him inner strength. Sometimes you don't get that from somebody until later on. Sometimes I don't tell my wife, I'm glad that you were with me, until later. Now, I don't know what that's about, but that's the truth. Sometimes that person that you're with don't tell you. They don't validate you till later on when they sit back and they realize how important it was for you to be there with them. Amen? You take a child, they go get a shot. They want you in there. They don't want to take that shot alone. But as long as you're there, you can comfort them. There's a peace. There's a comfort that you give. Amen? This is what Deborah did. She fortified Barak, and she gave him the inner strength he needed to do what he was called to do in the first place. So that page from that book says, the strengthening presence of a woman who comes along beside a man. Don't get in front of him. Don't get behind him. But as God created her to come beside him as a helper. I know we like to say, well, God made man first and woman second. But he didn't say, I made you first and she'll be right behind you. He says, I'm going to give you somebody to put alongside you as a helper. So when somebody is right beside you as a helper, that kind of means they got equal. I'm not getting a lot of amens, but that's okay. They got equal. It's not what the government says. It's what God says. I put her beside you to walk beside you. Not to walk in front of you, not to walk behind you, but beside you. So the presence of a woman, that mother, that grandmother, that sister, beside you, that presence is important. Amen? Because there's an equalness. Can two walk together? I'm going to tell you right now, we men, sometimes, we don't like losing. We have a fear of losing. And if I can't talk about nobody, then I'll talk about this man. I hate losing. I have a fear of losing. Amen? If I'm looking at a football game and my team is losing, I don't even want to look at it. If I'm looking at a basketball game and my team is losing, I don't want to look at it. Because I think I got better things to do. Now, you are in a relationship with somebody, and you're not getting it right, and you figure you're losing. If your man, if your husband, whoever, your son, has this fear of losing in this relationship with you, well, guess what? Two ain't going to be walking together. Barak said, I don't want to lose. I have a fear of losing. Can you walk beside me? Amen? In all of our dealings, when we deal with people, if they have a fear of losing, then they're not going to want to stay that long. But if there's hope, if my team has a hope, it could be 10 seconds left, down by 5. There's still hope. I'm still going to look at the game because I'm thinking that something miraculous is going to happen. In your relationships, if there's 10 seconds left and there's hope that something miraculous is going to happen, you're going to stay there. But if there's no hope, there's still time. There's still time. All we need is a little bit of hope. All we need is a little. And we're going to stay there. If there's time, men, women, we're going to stay there. I venture to say that my wife and I are ministering to a couple. We're counseling them because God has ordained us to do that, but we also are doing it because we believe that we're going to learn something too. Amen? But as we continue to do that and we get feedback back and forth, I said to my wife, what is he looking for? And he's a friend of mine. And I'm saying, well, what is he looking for? Because he keeps giving me issues and problems and talking to his wife. And I'm saying, does she have any hope? I'm saying, does she have any hope? And if there's no hope, it ain't going to work. Sometimes we need that other person to have the hope for us until we can have the hope and hold on ourselves. I don't know what they're doing, but my wife and I are praying, and we have the hope for them that things are going to turn around. Deborah steps in to walk with Barak because she knows that what God has done when he has ordained it and says, go forth and commands you to do something, she knows that God is going to win and Barak is going to win because God is on his side. So she says, I'll go with you. But she says to him, when I go with you, I want you to know that what God has promised you, that glory that you are going to get, you're not going to get all of it. You're going to have to share it. You're going to have to share it. She didn't say share it with me. She said, you're going to have to share it with the Lord. Amen. She steps in there and she goes forth with him because he didn't have the courage to do it. Woman, mothers, grandmas, you have that ability to do it. I remember as a child when I was broken and upset, guess who was there? Guess who came to my rescue? Guess who it was? Mom always had a way of showing up with her presence. But she didn't come to solve my problems, and she didn't come to fix it. She just came there to say, your mother's here. I know that there's some issues. I know that you feel like things ain't really working out for you, and I know that you're a little weak right now, but God is still in control. By her saying that to me meant something to me. She gave me a feeling and a sense of comfort. Amen? I felt her presence as a young boy, and I even feel it right now as a grown man. I don't know if you know, I had to go through something as I sat on the pulpit, and I would look out there, and my mom wasn't out there. When I saw my mom, I had a comfort. There was like, if nobody liked what I said, mom did. If nobody said, Pastor, you preached today, mom did. And I know, because I know a good friend of mine told me, you were terrible. And I got that. But not, mom never told me I was terrible. Mom was there. Her presence meant something to me. If she tells me to jump, I'm going to say, Ma, how high? Amen? Even Jesus would always recognize his mother. Amen? When he was dying on the cross, he looked down at his mother and says, Ma, here's your son. Don't worry about me. Don't cry for me. I'm okay. He comforted his mother as he was being crucified on the cross. And then again, his first miracle was because of his mother. Amen? She said, Jesus, there's a party going on. They ran out of wine. What you gonna do? He said, he's like, Ma, I ain't even telling them who I'm really in. You know, what are you asking me to do? She said, I'm telling you, boy, there's a party going on here. And they ran out of wine. And then she just walked away and told everybody else, do what he says. Right? And he turned the water into wine. First miracle because of his mother's command Amen. Even if you're not sure in your relationships with somebody, you need to ask yourself whether you are a man or a woman. How can I come alongside this person to help them strengthen him or her? That's a significant question. How can I make you stronger, more courageous? How can I help you to succeed? God created Eve to be his helper. God created Eve specifically to be the helper for Adam, because all of us need all the help that we can get. But see, now, the second thing that Deborah did, when she said, I'm going to walk beside you, she didn't say, okay, now, buddy, remember who's here with you when you win. You know, we like to remember who did this for you, all right? She turned his attention to the Lord. Amen? She turned his attention to God, because in verse 6 it says, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you to take 10,000 with you. Then she says in verse 14, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? We don't need to kick people out without that armor that they need. In order for Barak to be fortified, more than just her presence was needed. She needed to tell him and remind him who's in control of everything. And when God tells you to do something, he tells you, like I said, where to go and who to see. She says, take 10,000 men with you, and remember, God has gone ahead of you. We need to tell our husbands, our fathers, our sons, our daughters, our wives, don't be afraid. God has gone ahead of you. Amen? You see, Deborah, when she said that, she turned his head around. There's a saying, the woman is the neck that turns the head. We like to say that we the head. But that head would be nothing without that neck. So that neck, Deborah, turned Barak's head around and made him look up to the Lord. She could have been a good looking. You know, sometimes women make us turn our heads. They ain't got nothing to do with the Lord, right?
That's true.
But that's the power of a woman, because you've always been born to turn our heads around. I don't think the woman in this place got that. I'm going to say that again. You were born to turn the men's head around. You were born to turn our heads around. Now, I'm not telling you when you see a pretty woman turn your head around, because you're going to get smacked. I'm talking about, you know, things that you don't think of all the way through, and they give you something, tell you something that make you turn your head around. Don't go out there and turn your head around and say, you know, Pastor said it's all right. I rebuke that right now. So if you come in here with a black eye, I know where it's from. But you have the power, and this is important, you have the power to turn a man's head around, not just with your physical beauty, but with your feminine style and the words that you use. You know, I could tell you, go down to that door and run back 3 times. And my wife or another woman could say, could you go down there and come back 3 times? And you know, we'd be willing to go through that door and come back 3 times because of the way it's said, how it's said, and who said it to us. Amen? So you have something to turn a person around. And I want you to understand that, and especially some of our younger people in this place, because You don't have to do all of that foolishness to turn the head around. I used to like the song that says, "Just my imagination running away with me." But if you show me everything that you got, I don't need an imagination. There's no searching that I have to do. There's nothing that I have to look forward to. Come on. You don't have to do all of that. It is your style, your grace, how feminine you are, how you handle yourself, how you talk, how you display yourself that attracts somebody to you. Because you know what? Ain't no real man want a bum. I need to say that again. Ain't no real man want a bum. Not to establish himself or live a life with. You can't have a future with a bum. Amen? Because if you're going to be bummy with me, you're going to be bummy when you're not with me. I don't want to have to keep my eyes on you. I don't want to have to be following you around. I don't want every night I got to prove my love. No man wants a bummy wife, but no wife wants a bummy husband. They don't want you coming. You could come in smelling up the place because you've been at work, but you better wash. Don't be coming in smelling like 2 weeks ago and want to hug and kiss on them because you won't get this. But see, we all have this thing for one another, and it's called respect. You see, because we walk aside when beside one another. You walk beside your wife, walk beside your mother, your grandmother, whoever it is. You show them the respect that they deserve. Amen? And you can't do that. You ain't gonna have that. But anyway, Deborah says, "The Lord has already gone before you, hasn't he?" She turns his attention to the Lord. "The woman," I said, "is the neck." And during this time where Barak was confused and he was insecure, she says, "Look to the hills where your help is coming from." Amen? Now she can take that power and she can use it just because of who she is. She can just say something to him that makes him think, because a lot of times we don't want to think. But she used that and made him think. And it wasn't a statement, it was a question. "Hasn't the Lord gone ahead of you already?" Sometimes we don't want a statement, we need just something to make us think. If you know me and I want you to think, I'm going to ask you a question. Not that I might not know the answer, but I want you to know the answer. I might know the answer, but I'm going to ask you a question. Sister House will tell you, when somebody asks me something, I say, "Well, I got a question for you." Those of you who come to Bible study, you say something to me, I say, "Well, I got a question for you." Amen? The question is to make you think. Anybody that don't ask you a question, I will watch out for them. If you're in a relationship and you have no questions, I will watch out for that. Amen? Sometimes we can have too many questions, but still, you got to ask questions. She said, "Isn't the Lord God ahead of you already?" Amen? So when she said that, she said, "Look at God, don't look at me. Don't think about your ego. Don't think about your failures in the past. Don't look in the mirror. Look at God. Put your faith in God, Barak. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" It's encouraging that mothers and women and grandmas can help us turn our attention towards the Lord. She not only fortified him, but she turned that attention. What I'm saying is that you can do that and more. But we got the answer to what God is saying. We don't know what he wants until he gets us on our knees. She's telling Barak, whatever feelings you have, get on your knees and God is going to tell you. Mothers tell sons, get on your knees. They tell daughters, get on their knees. You see, I'm not here to give flowers to mothers about flowers, but I'm giving them the props that they deserve on this Mother's Day. I'm giving women the props that they deserve on this Mother's Day, because they always tell us what we need to hear, maybe not by saying it, but questioning us and making us think about things. Now, here is another thing that Deborah did. She sought his dignity. There is no man who does not want to be or feel dignified. Don't take a person's pride from them. That goes both ways. So Deborah didn't take Barak's pride. She didn't take his dignity. She left him with his dignity. Amen? In verse 9, where she admonishes Barak for disobeying the Lord, what disobeying the Lord would mean, she told him, well, you know, you won't get all the honor that God intended for you. Amen? So she showed concern for his dignity. So when he won, he was able to get some of the credit. So here's some of the credit. When you look in Hebrews 11 and you look at the wall of faith of everybody who was faithful, who was faithful, who was faithful, you know who's in there? Deborah. You know who else is in there? Barak. He didn't get all the credit that God wanted him to get, but he did get some credit. Amen? So she didn't take his dignity, and she didn't take all the credit for doing anything. Amen? What she did is she set him up for victory. And that's a very humbling thing. When you set somebody up for victory and they wouldn't have been able to do it without you, hallelujah. She knew that he couldn't do it without her, but she knew that God deserved the honor and the praise, not Barak. Amen? Thank you. So what I'm saying and what I'm giving you today, ladies, preserve dignity for those that you are responsible for. She could have shamed him. She could have berated him up and down. She could have thrown him out. She said, nope, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come with you with my presence. I'm going to set you up so that you can win. God does that, and that's how he acts with you and me. He sets us up so that we can win. You know, when we fall down, when we sin and something happens and we feel so bad about it and we think nobody's going to forgive us or anything like that, God forgives and he sets us up for the win. Because the next time that situation occurs, you'll be winning. You'll be victorious over it because God has already brought you through that situation already. Amen? At the end of the day, we're still in a battle. But at the end of the day, we are still going to win. Amen? I'm going to fast forward a little bit because I know that this is Mother's Day, and I want you to get this, and I want you to be able to go out with your family today. What Deborah did is three things for Barak. And if you don't take anything, I want you to take this with you home today. Number one, she fortified with her presence. Amen? She turned his attention toward God. Amen? And she delivered dignity. So on Mother's Day, what does that spell out to you? It spells out FTD. So the FTD today the pastor's giving you is not flowers, but it's words that you can take with you whenever you're going through something, you're talking with somebody in your relationship, you're talking with your children. Use FTD. Fortify them. Turn their attention toward God and let them keep their dignity. Amen? Because I want you to know Jesus Christ FTD'd us when he died on the cross. And every time we feel down, his presence fortified us. When we don't know what to do and we're in a situation, he turns our head towards the Lord. Amen? And he never, ever puts down and takes away our dignity. So don't go around despising people. Just FTD them. Somebody say FTD to the person next to you. Everybody should be doing this. No matter who it is, You don't injure me, FTD me. Don't talk down to your husband, FTD them. Don't talk down to your wife, FTD them. Don't talk to your children that way, FTD them. Because when you FTD them, they can take that with them always. So no matter what anybody say to you, to them, they know that they got a mother, that they got a father, a sister, they got a brother who will FTD them no matter what. But more important than that, they have a God who has FTD'd them, so no matter what man says, they'll never feel down in the dirt. Because when God lifts you up, it doesn't make a difference what man says. When man closed that door doesn't stay closed if God wants that door open for you. When God closes a door, it doesn't make a difference what man does. God is going to open that door for you. So, FTD somebody today. This is Mother's Day. Don't just give them flowers, but FTD them with the presence that you have with them. Let them know what they mean in your life. Let them know how wonderful they have brought you up. What a presence they have been in your life. How much you appreciate them. Because you only get one. You're not getting another. When you're going to be born again, you're not going to be born again with your mother. You'll be born again in Christ. Let us stand this morning.